How's everybody doing? My name is Christopher Brown, host of the podcast Sports Talk with Chris. And now listening to my newest episode. Thank you all for listening and enjoy. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and I hope you continue to have a good day. And I'm happy because it's time to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles again. You know, after the way the season ended, starting off 10-1, you know, the collapse that we had, losing in the first round, I was hurt, as a lot of Eagles fans were. But that's the past. And it's time to talk about the future, because Eagles are on the good things and great things, and I have to tip my hat off to Howie Roseman. Because after every year, he sees what we need to improve, he adjusts, and he stays the course. And the course is to make us a championship team again. And he is on his way to doing that. So before I talk about some of the players, you know, that we signed or free to see, list off some of the players that we lost. I'm not going to be like Tiki Barber. But before we get into the whole free agency and draft thing, I first want to give a shout out to some retired legends. First, Jason Kelce, the ultimate Eagles player, a guy that wore his emotions on his sleeve, a guy that was unafraid to do the dirty work, a guy that showed up and he showed out. You know, during his 13 years with Philadelphia, he was a 7-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro, and an NFL champion. He's undoubtedly a top 5 player in his position, and he will be a Hall of Famer. You know, when you talk about the center position in the NFL, you have to name Kelce top 5. I think he redefined the position, redefined how useful that position can be. Not just a guy that can double team and do this, do that, but a guy that could be the screener on screen, you know, be the puller on screenplays, a guy that could go up to the next level. Some of the things I saw Jason Kelce do, I'd never seen any center do in the NFL. And they were dominant centers during his time. But nobody, I think, was as dominant and as useful to their offense as Jason Kelce, as versatile to their offense as Jason Kelce. And it's crazy that a center could have that much impact on your team. But Jason Kelce had that much impact for the Philadelphia Eagles. He will be missed. And we love you. And I can speak for all Philadelphia Eagles fans when I say, you're a legend. Now, another retired player, Fletcher Cox. You know, in his prime, he was the unanimous second-best interior defensive lineman in the league behind Aaron Donald. During his 12 years in Philadelphia, 70 sacks, 519 tackles, 88 tackles for loss, and 173 quarterback hits. 6-time Pro Bowler, NFL champion. And you may have heard what I said, a unanimous second-best interior defensive lineman. I think that's just an opinion. But a fact, he is a part of 2010's All-Decade team. That's a fact. Behind Aaron Donald, there was nobody in his prime as dominant as Fletcher Cox, a guy that constantly saw double and triple teams. But when he had his moments, dominant run stopper and could wreck any single play. And as a guy that played a defensive line, especially the defensive tackle position in high school, he is a guy that I looked up to, and he is another guy that will be missed. Now, both guys are legends. Both guys will be missed. But I trust Howie Roseman not to, let me say, replace them, but to add into their position groups so we don't miss a beat. Now, speaking of another Philadelphia legend, a guy that's on his, you know, retirement run, Brandon Graham. We re-signed Brandon Graham, and I'll say this. He sort of had a down year last year, going from 11 to 3 sacks. But I think the whole defensive line group kind of have a down year. And re-signing Brandon Graham so he can go his retirement tour, man, I mean, it's amazing. I think he's going to have an impact this year. Brandon Graham is a guy that can easily get double-digit sacks. And I think this year this group is hungry. And I think he's going to be charged up, ready to go, knowing that his last year he's going to leave it all out on the field. So I expect Brandon Graham to be flirting with double-digit sacks this year. I expect him to be a productive guy. I expect him to be a dominant guy. And I cannot wait to see what he does on the field this year. Shout out to Brandon Graham. Next, we have Leonard Dickerson, a guy that we re-signed. Now that Cuss retired, he's probably our best interior offensive lineman. You know, he's a dominant guard, can be a Pro Bowler, can be an All-Pro. When I look at this offensive line group, at one point in time, we were the best offensive line in the NFL. It wasn't close. You had teams like the Cowboys that were nice, but nobody compared it to the Eagles. All-Pros and Pro Bowler at every single position. We were dominant. And I think he's going to be a key piece in us getting back there. Next, we re-signed two guys on the special teams, Jake Elliott and Brandon Mann. When I look at special teams, man, you cannot win without it. You have to win on offense, defense, and special teams, man. That's honestly how we lost the Super Bowl, because of special teams. No blame, but I'm just saying the importance of it. And I look at Jake Elliott, he's been one of the most consistent and dominant kickers in this game. And to have a great and explosive offense, I believe you need to match that with a kicker. And he's that for Philadelphia. I talk about some players that left. We lost Marcus Mariota. He went to Washington. I think he's going to be well in his job as far as being a backup quarterback to whoever they draft. I believe they're drafting a quarterback, the number two pick. And he's going to be a guy that teams will love to have him. We also lost guys like Jack Stoll, tight end, Jack Driscoll, offensive guard. We lost DeAndre Swift and Kevin Byard, both to Chicago. I have to tip my hat to Chicago. I think they're trying to be competitive this year, you know, bringing in Keenan Allen. Yes, they traded away Fields. They're probably going to draft Caleb Williams. But that team has a strong case of making that division the best division in football. We also lost a linebacker in Nicholas Moreau. But to talk about guys we signed, first we have to start off with Saquon Barkley. I mean, when it's first announced that we signed Saquon, I'm not going to lie, I didn't know how to feel. Because over the years, we had multiple 1,000-yard running backs. We were one of the best teams as far as yards per game on the ground. You know, for a while, we were a running back by committee type of team, and it worked for us. So when you bring in a guy like Saquon, who's a true number one, is it needed? But then I thought to myself, yes, Saquon is a top five running back in this game. If you can bring in a top five talent at any position, you do that by any means necessary. I don't even know why I questioned it, you know? Because I look at, I know my stance, I'm going to say my stance quickly. I look at people that say running backs are important. You know, you don't have to pay for a running back. You just have multiple running backs in a running back room. I have to disagree. I look at Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. I'll start off with Derrick Henry and what he did during the Titans AFC Championship run in 2019. They didn't have a dominant defense. They didn't have a dominant offense. But everything was built around Derrick Henry and how he controlled the game running the ground, how dominant he was running on the ground. He was dominant. He was the best running back in football. And honestly, after that, they fell off. And a lot of people want to say, oh, that's what happens when, you know, your best player is a running back. But I say to myself, that's what happens when you don't build around your running back. Because now let's go to Christian McCaffrey, you know. And I think when I look at Saquon and what he could do with Philadelphia, I think it's parallel for honestly what Christian McCaffrey did with the 49ers. If they would have won a Super Bowl, which I thought they had the possibility of doing, I think that would have killed all the noise of this whole running back controversy. Because they're a team that went out and they traded for a number one running back, and it almost worked. And you can still say it worked because they went to the Super Bowl this year. Last year, they were a team that got to the NFC Championship, and they love to say, you know, oh, if our quarterback was healthy, that's fine and dandy. But the fact of the matter is, they had deep playoff runs with their best player on offense being a running back. And when I look at that whole team, when you have a running back, the team has to still be great around it. We look at what Marshall Faulk was. We look at what LaDainian Tomlinson was. You know, we look at all these great running backs in history. Adrian Peterson, you know, they had good teams over there in Minnesota. It was so many good running backs throughout the years, and they had great teams around them. Even a Marshawn Lynch, you know, Le'Veon Bell. These are great running backs. But what made them so great, not only was the skill, but the team around them. Because they're not loading the box like people did, you know, against Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, excuse me, when you don't have the necessary other skill possessions to be great. And so when I look at Saquon coming over to Philadelphia, when Philadelphia is at our best, we're a balanced offense with a rushing game and a passing game. I think last year we kind of took a step back from that, even with DeAndre Swift being over 1,000-yard runner, being a Pro Bowler. I still think we were more pass than run. And so if we're able to get back to that balanced offense, the impact Saquon can have, boy, I'm looking at north, I think, of 2,000 yards from scrimmage, 16-plus touchdowns. You know, when I look at Saquon and how great he can be, it's not just running the ball, but it's what he can do in the backfield as far as catching the ball. The difference he can make there. I saw him have some incredible catches last year alone with New York. And I look at how dominant, you know, this team can be as far as receivers. I'm going to talk about God we signed later. But even with AJ, even with God, or even with Smith. So when you add a dynamic running back an offensive guy like Kellen Moore who wants to push the ball down the field, bringing in Saquon was a must. And I think his impact, like I said, is going to be like just like Christian McCaffrey. And like he said, a team that, you know, going 10-7 and, you know, I mean, 11-6, losing their first round, they look at that as a down year. That's the type of team he wants to play on. That goes to show you he's coming in hungry. And yes, your best ability is availability. And a lot of people had questions as far as his injury concern. But when I look at the past 2 years, last year he missed 3 games. The year before that, I believe he missed 1. But when you're the number one guy on offense, when you're getting, it feels like 1,000 touches a game, you're going to get banged up. But when I look at him coming to Philadelphia, the workload is not going to be the same, but it's going to be efficient. It's going to be effective. He's not just going to have meaningless carries and meaningless plays. Everything's going to be a meaning. Everything's going to have purpose. Saquon's going to be dominant for Philadelphia this year. I mean, I can't wait. I can go on and on about the impact Saquon can make. But I will say this. Philadelphia Eagles fans, look out. Be ready. Because how 49ers fans are about McCaffrey, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep making this comparison. Because tell me things that they do different. They're both great on the ground. They're both great in the, you know, pass game. You look at the impact Christian McCaffrey is. Now, he's by far the best offensive player on the 49ers. I say A.J. Brown's our best offensive player. You know, and I say, I mean, Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But as far as, you know, the skill positions, the wide receivers, and the running backs, I mean, man. Kellen Moore, you know, if he's able to bring back that balanced offense and able to keep everybody healthy, which I think won't be hard because I think his play calls will be amazing. Just look out for how dominant this team. Like I said, I think he's going to have close to 2,000 scrimmage yards, 16-plus touchdowns, and everything's going to be efficient and effective. Now, another guy we signed, switching over to the defensive side. Actually, I stay on offense, then I go defense. Devontae Parker. You know, I thought I was going to talk about a guy that we signed on the offensive side. When I look at Devontae Parker, I mean 6'3". That's to say everything I need to say. But I will say this. He's a big body, a pass catcher. You know, the last time he was with a great or good offense and good defense, I mean, good offense and good quarterback, he was productive. You know, he had a slump in New England, but I'll be honest, the past 2 years from New England have been ugly. They had nothing to look at. Look, there was nothing good about New England on both sides of the field last year. And bringing over a guy like that who is the number 3 option, we're not looking at him to be number 1. I mean, we have Smith and we have A.J. Brown. We have Goddard, so you could say he's the 4th option. That's scary. Because he's a guy that could be a threat in the red zone. He's a guy that could be a threat on third down, first down, any down. But especially, I think, on third and I think in the red zone. Excuse me. Having a guy that's 6'3", that has a huge catch radius, that's not slow, that can get open, that's great for your offense. And again, with a guy like Kellen Moore, who's going to, I think, maximize the potential in this offense, he might not have the best numbers, you know, but he'll have the most effective numbers. And when we need him the most, I think he will be there. So switching over to the defensive side, you know, we're going to start off with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, man. Because honestly, it's not much I can say. But welcome back. Sad that you left last year. You went to Detroit, you know. Things didn't work out over there for the good or bad. But you came back home. And yes, I mean home. Because I look at the safeties, you know, the Eagles had in the past. And I look at Brian Dawkins. And I look at Malcolm Jenkins. And I look at how dominant they were. I mean, I say the names like that because it just puts a smile to my face. How many legends, you know, I was blessed to watch as being an Eagles fan. But in all actuality, I mean, I look at Malcolm Jenkins going from New Orleans, coming over to Philadelphia. Philadelphia legend, won the Super Bowl, the impact he had. And I look at C.J. Gardner-Johnson have the same type of impact. I mean, 6 interceptions in his first couple of games with Philadelphia, you know, before he got hurt, you know, 2 years ago. He was on his way to be first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, easily. Easily. He's a ball hawk type, you know, safety, a guy that's going to make a play. And we needed that. You know, Blankenship's a very good safety. Don't get me wrong. He's not afraid to do the dirty work. One of the, you know, lead leaders and tacklers. But when you add a guy that is going to be that ball hawk for this team, I think that's the door of safety. You know, if we could add, I'll keep that later on. But I will say this. Bringing back C.J. Gardner-Johnson was amazing for Philadelphia. We need help at that safety position. And he is one of the best safeties when he's healthy in his league. So I cannot wait to see the impact that he has. Next, Devin White. You know, Devin White, in a conversation, the top 10 inside linebacker in the league, especially when the Buccaneers were on their championship, you know, hunt and pursuit, especially when they won the championship. You know, you looked at that linebacker duo, him and Dave, and you said, man, it's one of the best in the league. And I think, you know, when Tom Brady left and then passed, you know, even last year, the team was up and down. The whole entire team, they had moments, and he had moments. But I think coming over to Philadelphia, when you have a front, you know, dominant, you know, pass rushing, dominant front four, we're working on our, you know, back four. I think in the inside, you're going to see him going back into that top 10 inside linebacker conversation. I mean, he's a guy that can cover the run, cover the pass. In today's NFL, you need linebackers that can play all three downs. You know, for a while, we had linebackers that are just run stoppers. And I don't want to say cones because that's kind of disrespectful, but guys that weren't the best at covering the pass, guys were liabilities at covering the pass. We didn't have the necessary safety help to kind of make the difference. And I think Devin White is a guy, you know, we tried to bring linebackers in, you know, Zach Cunningham and Darius Leonard, you know, root to the good, bros. Darius Leonard, that it just didn't work out. And I look at Darius Leonard, man, and, you know, just to go talk about him, man, it's just sad about that back injury because he was on his way to being one of the best linebackers in a decade, in an era. And I think hopefully he can get back to that point. I would love to have him back. You know, maybe he's not, you know, the number one that could be Devin White, but I think he can have an impact on his team. But, man, just to talk about Devin White, I'm excited to have a linebacker. For the Eagles, I feel like it's been a while. You know, we had a guy like TJ Edwards who went and left after having a good year in Philadelphia. And we had a, you know, linebacker core last year, injury riddled, all the wrong things happened. So if Devin White, you know, is able to be healthy, man, impact he's going to have is phenomenal. Next, we're going to talk about Bryce Huff, a guy that had 10 sacks last year. You know, bringing in him is what we need, you know. We were a team that was 70 sacks, you know, 2 years ago, last year being middle of the pack. You know, it's kind of one good year, one bad year, one good year, one bad year. Especially, you know, we have injury riddled seasons, you know, and I'm talking about the Eagles, you know, defensive line group. But Bryce Huff, you know, is a young guy, double digit sacks. I would love to add that. I love adding that to our pass rushing core. Hopefully, you know, Reddick comes back, we're able to fix that. If you're able to have him and Reddick, Brandon Graham, Carter, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, the list goes on. Good luck stopping all those guys. So bringing in Bryce Huff again, double-digit sacks, guy that's not going to be the only pass rusher. I think he's going to have the same type of impact over here in Philadelphia. You know, we also signed some other guys that, you know, I'll name real quick. Some more linebackers like Oren Burks from San Fran. You know, we also signed a defensive tackle, Musfer from Penn State. He was with New Orleans last year. We also signed a guy like Matt Hennessy, interior offensive line group. You know, so how he's making moves. Zach Bond, another linebacker. We're making moves. And you see the positions that we're you know, bringing in. Linebacker, interior offensive line, defensive line. Kind of the staples that we need to be successful. And yes, we brought in Gardner Johnson as well. But, you know, to move on into what I think we – positions that we kind of need and we're going to target still in free agency in the draft, pass rushers. Like I said, we went from 70 sacks to being middle of the pack last year. And that group has kind of been the focal point of Philadelphia. You look at the year we won a championship. You look at the year we went to the Super Bowl. You know, look at the years we really make our run. We have a dominant pass rushing group. You know, doesn't matter if it's four guys or seven guys. We have a group of guys that are interchangeable, everybody can come in and do their part. So if we're able to bring back Reddick, which I hope we are, and he's able to play and have a year, you know, dominant years like he's been having in Philadelphia, good luck stopping all these guys because, you know, I talked about losing to Fletcher Cox. We have young guys like Davis and Carter who, you know, had an up and down year last year, but that was everybody. But I'm telling you, this year is going to be, we have a chip on our shoulder, you know. I'm not going to say we're underdogs, but we have something to prove after last year. We're going to bounce back. And I think that pass rushing group is going to go back to being the best pass rushing group in the NFL. You know, and I look at the interior offensive line group. You know, we lost Driscoll. We lost Jason Kelce. You know, we signed Dickerson. You know, we signed Hennessy. And I think we're going to continue to target that group of free agency and maybe even in the draft. It's not so much as this is important, finding your starting guy, but it's also about having the depth if a guy is able to go down. Because I look at, again, how we dominant we were for those consistent years. I mean, it feels like for 6-7 years, we had the best offensive line group. And I look at how we were somewhat able to plug and play certain guys, and certain guys were able to step up like a Mulata, like a Landon Dickerson. You know, we had guys able to step up and fit in and be productive. So I think that's the same type of thing we're looking at this year. If we're able to find our cornerstone pieces, that's amazing. Because you have Mulata and Johnson on the outside. You have Landon Dickerson inside. So we need to fill those two other positions with guys that are going to be successful. So we're able to find those guys and have that starting unit. But also have guys that can back them up and be productive. And it won't be a huge fall off. That's something I think would be impressive as well to attacking free agency in the draft. Also the cornerback position. Darius Slay is getting older. He's still one of the best cornerbacks, you know. Bradbury had an off year, to say the least. But we need to add depth in that room. For a while, our cornerback position was the weakness of this team. And I look at our Super Bowl run and that being sort of the strength of our team, our defensive back group. And I think we need to get back to that. I think we need to get back to just being dominant, flat out. I look at this draft and it's deep, especially when you have five quarterbacks that could be taken in the first round, five receivers that could be taken in the first round, which is kind of unheard of. And you got teams that always need offensive linemen. It's rare that you're able to get such talent back in the 20s where we're drafting. And so I look at all the cornerbacks in the draft. And still, I mean, you know, we could look at free agency real quick and see if there's any corners available. But I think we're more than likely going to draft corners, which I'm not mad at all. But let's go, especially learn them high Slay and Bradbury, you know, guys that's been in this league. But let's go to available corners and see who's up on the board. Xavien Howard. Adoree Jackson. J.C. Jackson. Stephon Gilmore. Maddox. Pat Peterson. Those are the top corners available. Would love to have any one of them. But that's a position I think we're going to attack both in free agency, hopefully, and in the draft. To end it off, you know, and again, like I said, I'll be happy to have any of those cornerbacks. Xavien Howard, I think, still a very good cornerback in today's NFL. J.C. Jackson, bring him. Adoree Jackson, bring him. Gilmore, bring him. Maddox, bring him back. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at these cornerbacks, and if we're able to get one for cheap, I would love to bring him in and still draft a corner. But for that cornerback, you know, interior offensive line and pass rusher, to me, where we're going to target in the draft. And if I look at it, you know, let's search NFL mock draft. What's the first one that pops up? And I'll be releasing another mock draft this year. Let's go to CBS Sports. CBS Sports has us drafting at the, where are we at? 27th pick, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and you know, McKinstry, cornerback. And I love it. And 27, they had us doing a trade with the Cardinals, but I think regardless, 22 or 27, we're drafting a cornerback. I love it. Again, I'm not going to say too much on it. I'm going to, you know, bring back the excitement or just wait. Just wait, you know, until after free agency and after the draft and we're getting closer to preseason. But I'll say this. As far as expectations, it's always going to be Super Bowl or bust. And you have to love that as an Eagles fan to, you know, say, well, my team's a Super Bowl contender every year. You have to love going into the year like that. It's fun being an Eagles fan. It's great being an Eagles fan. I think this team is hungry, and I think the offseason is showing that. So shout out to Howie Roseman. Shout out, you know, bringing in new coordinators. I think the team is hungry. I think Jalen Hurts is hungry, and I think this is going to be a hell of a year for Philadelphia. So just like me, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to stay tuned. But for you, thank you all for listening. More Eagles content is coming soon. I'm going to have some shorts, you know, being posted on my TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, SportsW_Chris for all of those platforms. I'm going to be covering a draft for Philadelphia as well on my platform. So look out for that, you know, do some draft profiles. Again, it's exciting time to be an Eagles fan. I got a collab coming soon with some buddies of mine, all Eagles fans. You know, we're going to talk about what we expect like I said, you know, to do for the rest of your season in the draft. But again, it's a fun time to be Eagles fan. Thank you all for tuning in. More stuff coming soon. Peace. That's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Please reach out to me. Follow me on my social media, sports_W_Chris for Instagram, for Twitter, for TikTok. I'm very interactive on all three medias. I post daily on all three of them. You can definitely catch me on Twitter. I'm constantly tweeting about sports. Instagram, I'm constantly posting content. I'm getting more active when it comes to TikTok. Also, make sure you take a look at my website, Sports Talk with Chris. That's where you're going to find a lot of my articles. That's where you're going to be able to find, you know, my new episodes on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, my new YouTube videos. I'm going to start streaming very, very soon again. So my website is going to be my main hub. I know I had a Linktree. You know, my Linktree is something that I used for a long time, but now it's going to be that website. So, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, you follow me on Twitter, you follow me on TikTok, you know, I have that Linktree in my bio. Soon it's going to be my website. And I will post a tutorial on how to find all my platforms on my website very, very soon. But make sure you take a look at that website. Again, thank you all for listening. Have a good rest of the day.